Praise God. Happy 10 o'clock hour. Oh, God is good. Let's go ahead and start with prayer this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for meeting us here in this place, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for increasing our faith today through your word. Be with us in a special way. Touch each one, Lord, each family member, Lord. And I pray that you'll bless those that are not here today, that cannot be here today. Lord, heap your presence and blessing upon them. Let them feel your comfort and your power. We give you glory. We give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. God is good. God is good. And Pastor Glover's not here right at this moment, but I wanted to just share that October is the month that we celebrate our pastors and pastors' wives. So thankful for them. We recognize Pastor Glover just being a person of just great kindness, steadfastness. He teaches and preaches and encourages us and inspires us and uplifts us, prays for us, and we're so thankful for that. Thank him for all of the things that he does for our church here at SPC, how he blesses each family, each one of us, and we love him and his great wife, and we pray for them and continue to pray for them and ask God just to just cover them and protect them and bless them and keep them and heap blessings upon them for all of the things they do. They wouldn't have to do anything for us, but just God bless them. You know, just keep them and strengthen them. So this month, whatever you choose to do to bless Pastor Glover and Sister Glover, the church will do something. I think there's going to be something sent around today in the form of a card to sign, and he's not here yet, so that's okay. And then next week I'll have a gift to present to from the church. Thank you. Praise God. There's a song that is written by a lady named Laura Story, and she writes this song called Blessings, and not necessarily starting at the verse, but the chorus is basically something like this, and this could be part of your journey. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through pain? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if storms of this life are your mercies in disguise? And I thought of that song because today we're talking about calming the storm, where Jesus calms the storm and the disciples get such a revelation of who he really is in their midst. It wasn't just a great teacher, a great rabbi, a great friend. He was, in fact, God incarnate calming the storm. So praise God. I shared that song with you. There's a backstory to that song. Laura Story wrote that song, but she and her husband, it hasn't been a journey of just a bed of roses and soft, cushy fields of green. It's been difficult. She's had a struggle. And her husband, they say that after they were married, they said they felt like they went right from their honeymoon straight to the ER. And their life was basically just upside down. Barely 2 years after being married, he was studying and attending a university. And he had some physical symptoms that were undiagnosed. And he would fall asleep in class. He thought, I'm just studying too hard. Got him checked out, and he had a brain tumor. So they're in a neurosurgeon's office listening to what their choices are, what could be done. But they were just, God, you've got this, trusting God, relying on God. And of course, this came with some disabilities on his part. And each one of us are going to have those storms in our lives. Like, praise God, pray that it's not a brain tumor. In this case, it was. But you know what? It brought them to a place of surrender to God. Lord, I can't take care of this, but you can. And they trusted God. And if anything else, calming the storm, Jesus calmed the storm. In this lesson today, we are going to have storms, and they're going to be physical, financial, spiritual, family, the list could go on and on, right? But if we can have trust in our God through our storm, He will still our storm. He will give us peace in our storm. So that's where I'm saying today, right at the onset and then at the end again, I'm going to just remind you, dig deep into your faith. Go into that well that you have prepared. You have been studying and reading the word. You have been praying and you have been fasting. And that storm is going to come. And there are people today that are not able to be here because they are in that storm right now. And they are digging deep. God, I need you. Let me trust you even greater. I mean, make it that faith, let it be a faith storm. Dig deep into that well of faith. And that's exactly what Laura and her husband Martin did. They dug deep. And you know what? God saw them through that storm. And she's gone on to write some beautiful works that have been such a blessing. Because your blessing may come through those 1,000 sleepless nights. Your blessing may come through the pain. Your blessing may come through the rain. So wherever your blessing comes through, praise God. We're going to give Him glory. And that's hard to do when you're in pain and you're hurting and you're suffering and you're tired. And if you've been helping those that have been in the storm, God's got you. He absolutely has you. God give you strength for when you need it, because you're up 24 hours a day. Maybe you're not getting sleep. God give you strength in the storm. Praise God. 1 Timothy 3:16 is our key verse today. And this is the beautiful scripture showing who Jesus Christ is. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Praise God. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. In this series, we continue, Jesus Christ is Lord. And because He is Lord, thank God we can put our trust in our great, big, wonderful God. Because He's not going to fail us like others have failed us in our lives. He is constant. He is true. He is steadfast. He is faithful. Praise God. We'll look at the storm that made these weathered fishermen think they were about to die. And then we're going to look at some storms in our life, in our spiritual life, that we've faced where we thought we're about to die. Knowing that we have a God on our side in basically our boat of life. Remember that old song? My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. You know, we have our God in our boat of life, and He can give us such an assurance when, you know what, your family's not going to give it to you. Your friends may not give it to you. You're not even giving it to yourself. You're not giving yourself that assurance, but He will give you that assurance. And praise God, you trust Him in the storm. You will be amazed at the things that you're going to see. Some of our brothers and sisters, even this week, have seen angels because of their faith in God with them in the storm. Praise God. Prophetic dreams that show what God is doing and is going to do. Trusting Him in the storm will just bring us, we're going to be so much stronger individually and as a church, praise God, for our community. And isn't that what we want? We want that. So whatever our storm may be, and you might have something in your mind right now, like, Lord, I'm going through this storm. Whatever that storm is right now, I just want to encourage you that He is God in your storm. He is still God in our storms. He is God. Praise God. It's interesting how when we know a storm is coming, like those people that live in these hurricane valleys, they prepare, don't they? They get out I don't think it's plywood. I think they get out something thicker and stronger. And they barricade their windows so they don't get broken. They are putting up, it's almost like they're just cocooning their house to prevent any damage from a storm. They prepare. They might have water. Maybe they have a generator. They have food. Whatever they need, they're prepared, or they're getting prepared. But what about when the storms come in our lives, our spiritual lives, and we just don't feel like we're prepared? We didn't have time. We didn't have 24 hours to get ready. And they come. Maybe it's in the form of a phone call. And it's like, hey, I'm calling from whatever hospital. I want to let you know you're a loved one. That storm will come in a matter of seconds, but I want you to know that when that storm comes, you are not alone. He is with you, and he is for you. And you know what? He is with you in the storm. I want you to know that. And I'm going to show you in Scripture that he is with you in the storm. Let's turn together to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 35 and read through to 41. Mark chapter 4. I love how I have all of them marked except that one. And I'm doing it with one hand. I'm usually so much faster. I love sword drills in Sunday school. And the teens love doing them also. They loved it. It was just exciting and invigorating. Chapter 4, starting with verse 35. It says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat up into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Wow. What a beautiful, beautiful example of God speaking to the storm. Just like he spoke to that literal storm on the Sea of Galilee, which was basically a lake, he can speak to our storm in our life. That storm that keeps you awake at night, that storm that makes you have anxiety, that storm that gives you fear, that's a very sure sign of fear is a sure sign that we need to go back to trusting God, because he said, trust, you will have no fear. So we're going to talk about that. But those spiritual storms, when they come, man, they're unpredictable, right? They come from whatever direction. It doesn't matter if it's north, south, east, west. That spiritual storm, when it comes, it's like, bam, gotcha. You're like almost breathless, right? I know you're thinking of something in your life. So God's got you. He's got this, and he's got you in the storm. Unpredictable, and most times it's devastating in respects to what you lose. So in a physical storm, people lose houses. Some people lose family members. They lose things. It's no different in our spiritual storm. You are going to lose some things. Claim to your faith like you've never claimed to your faith before, because that is what's going to keep you strong. It's going to give you such faith over fear, so that you can use your brain and mind in a great manner to just continue pressing on with God. Press on with God. Those storms, they'll leave people feeling shattered, like I have paralyzed, basically. I don't know what to do next, whether it's a spiritual storm, physical storm. That day for Jesus was a really full day. So we know he ministers and he healed the sick. He just did so many things that day. He asked his disciples to take him to the other side of the sea. And he watched as the last family members headed home to their beds. And he said to the curious people around him, he says in Matthew 8:20, he said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And then it says that the disciples took Jesus even as he was in the ship. We're going to think that at this point he was pretty much asleep, just dog dead tired, right? So they put him into the ship, and that entire day, he had just been so busy. Have you ever been, yes, I can say, so tired that you could just fall asleep anywhere? It really didn't matter, right? He was so tired. He fell asleep, pretty much collapsed, just exhausted. So the sea to the Jewish people, this particular sea is basically a modest-sized lake, but the Jewish people were more willing to fish and sail on it. But when the winds came down from Mount Hermon and frequented the lake, it would crash with the dry, warmer winds, and it would cause these violent storms. The fishermen knew that. They knew that. But when they had been asked by Jesus Christ to take them to the other side, they obeyed. So they did. They listened, which was really good. But once the storm arose and the boat started tossing and filling up with water, they thought their lives were numbered, and that was pretty much going to be the end of it, right? But they worked hard, probably pulling down the sail, bailing out water, doing whatever they could, until the point they went to the Lord and said, "Master, carest not that we perish?" Interesting, right? These were the people that had just been with Jesus the whole day, working, healing, ministering, doing, and the things that he did and the things that they saw probably made their eyes go, "Wow, this is our Lord. He's doing this." But then they go to him and say, "Master, don't you even care that we're just about ready to die in the storm?" And I just thought that was very interesting. Their faith at that point, I was like, okay, this is why we get this story today. You know, remember, wherever we are, whatever the storm is, that he is in control. And I know things happen around us and we think, well, why did that happen? You know what? It happened for a reason. God has a plan and he has a reason. And thank God we don't have the plan. We don't have the reason for it. Because we could write a different story, but it wouldn't be as fabulous and wonderful as the one God is writing for you. Isaiah 25 verse 4 says this. It says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. And when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall." Who's the one that made the storm? Who's the one that created it? Who's the one that can keep you through that storm, right? Wow, when we think of how powerful our Lord is, he made the storm, he could keep them through the storm. Sometimes when we're going through the storm, it's really hard for us to kind of pull deep inside of us and just grab and cling to the promises that God has given us. I think in many ways the enemy tries to help us forget what God has promised us when we're in the middle of the storm. He distracts us, perhaps, but when we get our focus back, like, "Lord, I'm here. You're my strength. I can't do this without you. I can't heal myself. I can't get through this. You're the one that's going to do it." I think the Lord just smiles at us as his children, you know, and says, "Well done. You know, use your faith in a powerful way." The storms that you weathered in your life are going to help you with not only an infusion of faith, because you made it through, right? Praise God. But for that next storm that comes in your life or your family member's life, you are going to be so much stronger to not only help yourself, but help your friends and family, because you're going to be able to infuse them with faith and share your testimony of what God has brought you through and where you're at now. And that's so powerful. Praise God. More faith in God. More confidence in God, more peace in God. Praise God. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, I'm going to actually go right to that one because I have just a portion of it here. Isaiah 43, verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Praise God. He is faithful. He gives us promises that he is with us, and he is taking care of us. Praise God. Praise God. And you know what is a pure joy to see is the other side of that storm when there is peace. When he speaks to the storm spiritually in your life, peace be still. And you feel that peace and you're like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing like it. And that beautiful time. And to know when you read his promises, you know that he can do anything. He is able to do all things. We'd put our trust in him. We're mere humans. He is divine, divinity, the creator, the almighty God. We put our trust in him. He's the one that made the storm. And it's almost like we're going to continue with the dialogue between Jesus and the disciples. It's almost like, what do you think, that I made the storm? I can't keep you through the storm? You don't have any faith? Quit being afraid. You know, it's almost like childlike, but in a way, it's cute that he did this with the disciples. So, you know, I thought, what is the worst? I mean, we could go around and say, what's the worst storm we've ever been in? We know we've seen stories on the news of Hurricane Katrina. We've had recent storms, Hurricane Ivan, and we've had other really large storms through this century that have been predominant. And you just see the devastation. And I don't know if anyone here has anyone here lived through any of those storms? Or we've seen them on the media. It's devastating. Perhaps it's not a literal storm you've been through. Maybe it's been a financial storm. Maybe you've had loss. Maybe that loss was a storm for you. Health, huge, huge storms. I was listening to, my husband so graciously sends me messages of preachers, and Brother Jackson was recently preaching about how when he was younger and he lived through Hurricane Katrina, they lost pretty much their house. They moved in with family members. They kind of all slept in one room, basically all, I don't know, was there five of them? How many children and his parents? And how that loss affected him personally, and how going back to school, seeing the children not even having shoes on their feet, and they just lost everything. It was devastation. Everything was gone. And sometimes storms will literally take everything away from us. We feel like we're stripped down to bare nothing. Where do we start now? Start where you're at and use your faith in God. Let him use your faith. God will bless you. He will infuse even more faith in you. And I know we have a lot of new people. And you know what is amazing? When new people and seasoned saints seek God for more faith, he gives it to us liberally, greatly. And it's amazing where he'll take you in that journey. Like, Lord, I'm only here, Lord. You know what? It doesn't matter where you're at, because you start using that grain of faith that as the size of a mustard seed, and they're small. We have nice visuals from the Lord. Just the smallest amount. It just takes a little bit, and just a little bit of faith, and it grows. It does. But it's in that platform of brokenness in our spirits, and brokenness, we're like at, basically we've reached, you've heard rock bottom. You've reached rock bottom, right? We have been stripped away. The storm has stripped away everything. He then can be greater and the greatest in our lives. He can be the God that he's always wanted to be in your life. Let him be that in your life. After that storm, Jesus, during that storm, he was sleeping on the boat. And he did command the winds and the waves to be still. And there was peace. And when God's voice speaks in our storm, there will be peace. There will be something. Something will happen when he speaks into our storm. The Hebrew word for still waters, because that's kind of what he promises after our storm when he speaks, is restful waters or refreshment. Amazing. How do I go through a storm and have God speak into my life peace and then I feel refreshed? How does that work? In your spirit. God gives you something in your spirit. You know what? And it's like this. It's like, I'm going to make it. I'm not going to die. You know, I'm going to make it. It's going to be okay. He's got me. We've got to get to that place. He's got us, saints. He's got us. Praise God. And I just want to focus on him, rely on him. And he wants us to put our confidence in him. Not in, yes, we're going to rely on, we're going to listen to our doctors and take our medicine, whatever that is, do our physical therapy routine, whatever it is. But ultimately, he's the one that has our breath in his control, right? It's him that gives us that first and that last, and he keeps us all in between. He's got us. Lord, I'm going to trust you in such a way that my focus will be on your promises and increasing faith, not only in myself. It's not just about me, but those that are around me, my family. There are those in our families that need an infusion of faith. They need an infusion of who God is, that he is God incarnate, that he's for them. Maybe they haven't been living the way he would like them to, but he's still for them. You know what? Praise God. Isaiah 40:31 says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I say hope in the Lord, have faith in the Lord. They will soar up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Praise God. This is promises in the Word of God for us. Praise God. After healing people all day, Jesus wanted to get to the other side. You guys know that, right? You've been with people all day, like, 17 hours? And you've been just giving and giving and doing. It's like, I just need a rest. Maybe a face mask and a tubby. Whatever you need, whatever that is for that peace that you just, like, bubble bath. I don't know what you do. But after that day of healing for Jesus, just healing and giving and teaching, he wanted to go to the other side and just kind of get away and leave the crowds behind, basically. He was tired. He wanted to sleep. Then that storm came, and they woke Jesus up, and he stilled and quieted the storm. Jesus was asking him, he was asking his disciples to trust him. So why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Mark chapter 4, verse 40. And wasn't it really reasonable for the disciples to be afraid? Because that storm was basically, and they were not people that didn't know the water or fishing. They were fishermen. Some of them were fishermen. They knew the water. They knew the signs. And they thought, we're going to die. This is it. This is the end. Swimming with the fishes. Sorry. And so that boat was being swamped, right? And I think it was perfectly reasonable for the disciples to wake up Jesus. Maybe he could help them. Yes. But if they were, these people were fishermen, and they were sailors. They were veterans on the water, so to say. But it was funny because they woke Jesus up, and when he woke him up, Jesus gave them a reproof. He scolded them, basically, like a parent would scold a child, right? Don't you care that we are about to die? And then Jesus himself, he scolds them for being afraid, and he scolds them for a lack of faith. Okay, so we step back and say, what about our spiritual life? Wow. He scolds us for being afraid, doesn't he? Be not afraid. Trust in me. I'll keep you through the floods and the fire and everything else. And he just tells us over and over from Genesis to Revelation. He tells us, don't be afraid. You know, when you allow fear as a saint of God to just immobilize you, you can't go past fear. You cannot get to faith if you are living in fear. Fear will just incapacitate you. It takes everything. It takes so much. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to be, is incapacitated, living in fear, running around as scared Christians, running around scared in our families, you know, with our tail tucked behind us, you know, like our dogs do. He wants us to have faith. And so as you know, even as parents, when your children come to you, it's your job as parents basically to comfort them and console them and help them, right? So they know that it's going to be okay, that they're going to be okay, they're not going to die, it's going to be fine, right? The screaming and wailing and crying. Jesus' response to them implies that they may have missed the lesson that he was trying to teach them, that lesson about don't fear, have faith. Because you know what? Faith's potential over fear is incredible. Once you move out of the realm of I'm afraid and I have faith, the windows of opportunity open in such a huge way. I would say the windows of heaven open in such a huge way. And your life, you will have a different perspective. Your perspective is different. Your friends and family that see you, like, they know you have a different perspective. You're not living in fear, cowering in a corner, hiding in your bedroom, whatever it may be. You know what? He was healing those demon-possessed people. He healed leprosy, the withered limb that day. And then he got to the place where he was needing rest. And he stilled that storm after they cried. Nothing is too big or too great for our Lord God to heal or touch or speak into our lives. There is nothing that he cannot do. And that's what the Word of God so wonderfully teaches us. And then we get to come and listen, you know, Sunday school, hear the Word of God. It reinforces that. When we read and we pray, it reinforces that. And we are so blessed. Jesus was teaching his disciples, trust me, trust me, trust me. I'm capable of solving your problems. I can help you. I will still the storm. I will, S-T-I-L-L, I will stop the storm in your life. And he was asleep on the boat. Man, if he could sleep through the storm, that wouldn't they know that it would all be well? If he was sleeping, wouldn't they know that, man, if he's been doing all these things, surely we're going to be okay? But he wanted them to have faith. Faith. That they could trust him no matter what. They could trust him, all would be well, and they had no need to fear. And he basically rebuked them for not having that. I remember that beautiful poem, and my sister, I was so surprised, and it was such a beautiful gift one time. She sent me this little cross, and on the cross it had the whole Footprints in the Sand poem. And I always sometimes just remember parts of it, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to share it with you today, because this is God in our lives carrying us. And it's called Footprints in the Sand, and it's called Footprints. One night I had a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across a dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, that you would leave me. And he whispered, he said, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. That's our Lord. He is with you. He's for you. He carries you through the storm. Like a parent would cuddle and swaddle a child to protect them from the elements. When your babies were little and you swaddled them, you took them before car seats, and then after car seats, we covered the car seat. But you held your baby and you put blankets around them because you didn't want this rain to get on their precious little newborn heads. You covered them. You protected them. You swaddled them. You kept them close to you. That is how our Lord is to us. He is for us. He's constantly protecting us. He's comforting us. He's wrapping his arms around us. And we see it over and over in the Word of God. And I'm asking you today, as a church family, When you have that trial come or that storm come, and it will come, trust him. People can say and do a lot of things, but there's nothing they can do or say that is like God doing or saying. Isn't that amazing? In our devotional this week, it declares that Psalms 65:6 says this, which by his strength settest fast the mountains, being girded with power. You know, he made everything that we see here on this planet. So every tall mountain, every low valley, every puffy cloud that we see, every storm, every sunny day, everything, we give, the heavens declare his glory. It's him in all of this. We see his beauty. But he taught us about having faith to move mountains. Not that we have faith to move mountains through his power. We serve the one who not only made the mountains, but tells us that we have faith to move mountains. And we can use our faith very powerfully. We can say, if one of you who has this power to make this, I'm sorry, how we can say instead of this, say, how could this mountain be moved? We can say, if there is one who has the power to make this mountain, and he has given me the power to move mountains in the spirit, why couldn't this mountain be removed? Why couldn't it be removed? He has all power. Praise God. A molehill is a tiny, tiny thing. A mountain is a large thing. Whether the problem is a molehill size, very small, or very big, it doesn't matter. I think God goes to him, says to himself, whether it's a molehill or a mountain, he says, I specialize in all. I specialize in moving molehills. I specialize in moving mountains. How big is that need in your spiritual life? How big is that storm? What, he's able to do all things, praise God. And he is always the God of the impossible. When things look impossible, how could this ever work out? How could this ever make peace in my life? How could I ever sleep through the night again? How could I ever not have anxiety again? It's through him, praise God. He is so able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the Bible goes on to say, according to the power that worketh in us, right? I think that storms do something for us. They give us a perspective. Whether it's a new perspective, and oftentimes once you've gone through it, you know that you're not the same. Maybe the storm has taken something from you, but it's also given you something. I think for those that have faith, it gives you just such a tenacity and a grit and a determination, and almost like, I'm never going through that storm again because it's done. The chapter has been closed. I'm moving on to chapter 2. I'm done with it. And I think that it's so encouraging for us because you're not left unchanged. You think that you've lost some things and maybe those scars are pretty big. You know what? Those scars might be the things that propel you in the future to do things that you would have never thought, never imagined that God would do for you in your life. Places he will bring you, people he will bring you to, you're like, this is like, I'm speaking to this very powerful, important person. But you know what? You're talking to them in faith. They're a person. They have a soul. They're a person. They have needs. And whether it's a very powerful person or somebody who is not, and someone who is so weak and broken, you can speak that same power to them, that same love to them. Because you know what? We're supposed to. Remember the greatest commandment? Love God first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we love ourselves, don't we? It's really easy to love ourselves. Let's love other people that way. Love them. Care for them. Nurture them. Give them an uplifting day. Give them an uplifting word, right? Praise God. And I know that years ago, we had this storm in our life that was when I was growing up. I don't know how it started, but maybe because my mother was raising three girls with no support and just working her guts out, basically. And the food was really lean. And I remember it was almost like Gone with the Wind. She's like, I'm never going to be hungry again. And she's like, she started going to, when she had extra money, she would buy whatever boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese, whatever it was, you know. She started filling up her pantry, like slowly but surely, because she had gone through a storm where it was so lean that I do remember her letting us eat first. And then she would say, no, I'm not hungry. And I'm like, she would let us eat first, and I'm not hungry right now. It's okay, you girls go ahead. And I remember her saying, she said, I will never have no food in this house again. I will have food in this house. So she started just filling the pantry with jar, you know, boxes of whatever food and cans, and she started maybe, I think she even did more canning. It was amazing. But you know what? That storm that she went through with no food gave her a perspective. And I think even during the times of the Depression, the Great Depression, they had a huge perspective on food and how important it was. So storms give us a perspective, but they give us a tenacity. And if we can put that our trust in God through that storm, and you're not alone. Satan is a stinking liar. When you're at home and you're going through the storm, you're alone. You're all by yourself. No one cares. That is a lie. You have so many brothers and sisters. Even if you just reach out to the one that your soul is connected to, whatever, just reach out to that sister or brother and say, hey, I'm going through a storm. I'm going through something. Could you pray for me? And you know what? Just that combined prayer, your life is going to be changed, and you will make it through the storm. Reach out and use the resources you have around you, because we get to love each other, right? We get to live life together, and that's very important. So we get to encourage each other through our storm. And I encourage you to reach deep when those storms come. If you're thinking, I'm not even in a storm right now, you know, we've got so many people in our beautiful congregation right now going through storms. And I think of how our pastor leads and directs and guides us through our storms. And it's not just his family's storms. It's like the whole church's storms. But there is strength and power in us together, relying on one another. Don't let the storm beat you up or beat you down. Don't believe it when he comes around, the devil, and says, you're alone? You're by yourself? Yeah, you're not. You are more than the storm you're going through. You are greater than the sickness you're going through, because he is greater. You are greater than any storm, whether it's spiritual, emotional. You know what? Even if it's a literal storm, we've had storms here where we've lost things, right? Whether it's parts of our property, windows, whatever, things have broken. People in the Bible had storms. It's kind of like almost like a history book of hard luck cases, and how God stepped in on the scene and went, peace, be still. That's what he wants to do in our lives. Praise God. I'm so thankful for that. He's such a great, big, wonderful God. I know this. I'm going to finish with this. I just wanted to say that one, I think of Ruth and Naomi. I think of that widow. She had lost her son. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. She had two daughter-in-laws left going to her home country, her homeland. She didn't have the resources that we have now. And in the Bible times, to have be a widow and not have anyone take care of you, it was devastating. It's amazing that she made it through, but she did with God's help. She faced a storm, you know, and she had somebody, Ruth. Ruth was really, I think Ruth and Naomi together, Ruth helped Naomi in ways that we don't read in the lines of the Bible, but between the lines, she did something with her being there and her being obedient to her mother-in-law, and persistent and just clinging on to the things of God. Really, that was amazing. She's weathered the storm. But so many examples in the Word of God, how people weathered storms. Praise God. So today we're talking, the whole lesson is about Jesus calming the storm, Sea of Galilee. And he calmed that storm. And you know what? They lived. There are other storms in the Bible where they didn't live. Acts 27, Euroclodon, Paul on his way ship to Malta, crashing into the, people died. But in this particular storm, God spoke, and he will speak in our lives. Praise God. Very excited. Excited to be here Sunday morning, and excited to be able to share our lives together. And those that are not here today, that we would just pray that God would help them through their storm. And in fact, if we can just close with that, I would like that. If we could just pray for our brothers and sisters that really need help right now. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. We just pray for those right now that are not able to be here, that are going through a storm, Lord. And they need your touch and they need your comfort. They need your covering, your protection, Lord. Let them know that you are with them, that you are for them. Wrap your arms around them in love and care. Lord, we speak for each one that's not here, that's hospitalized or at home, Lord, that you would bless them. Let them feel your comfort of your spirit, your power, your anointing in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.